As patriots, it's our duty to rise up in a world full of darkness. Evil comes in many forms, and it lurks around unexpected corners. It's time to stop wondering what will happen if it comes to war. War is already here. It's time to rise. Rise up for truth. Rise up for freedom. Rise up for our rights as American citizens. And now, at the head of the militia, here's your host, Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host and fearless leader, Mickey Garris, and it is good to be here today with you. Saturday afternoon, it's another scorcher. It's a hot weekend. I hope you guys are staying healthy. I hope you're staying hydrated, and I hope you're having a good weekend so far. Lots going on here in the country right now. Lots going on in Oregon. Lots going on in California. Lots going on in Washington. The West Coast has been inundated once again with wildland fires. Once again, because of mismanagement by our government. Not the private sectors, by our government. The state, my friends, is on fire. It is burning. It is burning fast. We have one of the biggest fires ever recorded in Oregon history happening down south, the Bootleg Fire. And things are just out of control. All these resources that are just going up in smoke, all that money. Imagine what the state could do with that money if those resources were in the right hands, if they are managed the right way by private industry and made to be sustainable and flourishing and profitable for this state. It is sickening, and it is all due to, I'll say it, it's all due to piss poor leadership. It's time for Oregon to wake up. It's time for us to take back this state. It's time for us to boot the Democrats out of power, because obviously, with everything they try to do, with everything they do, their management style, every policy, they fail miserably. And the majority, the vast majority of what they do ends up hurting you and I, ends up hurting the citizens in this, what once was a beautiful state of Oregon. I say once was because with everything burning up, with everything going up in smoke, with losing all these natural resources, and then with what our inner cities look like in the Portland area and even the Salem area, due to Democrat leadership and Democratic policies that are just making these areas cesspools, drug-ridden, violence-ridden cesspools that make it so you can't go down and enjoy your downtowns. Look at Portland. Portland was a beautiful city. So much to offer. It was a destination spot. People used to travel all over the place just to go hang out in Portland. You can't go up and enjoy Portland anymore. It's gross. It's absolutely gross. And it's dangerous to be up there. Look at Seattle the same way. My family and I, when I was a kid, we used to take little mini vacations up to Seattle all the time. It was just a fun place to go and spend the weekend at, or spend a day or two. We used to ride the train and go up to Seattle. And, just to be there for the day, go to Pike Street and check out the Pike Street Market and things like that. I can't take my family now and my younger kids and go up there and feel safe. It's just not the same. And why isn't it the same? It's because of the Democrats. It's because of their policies. And it's because of social programs and the whole woke culture that we live in right now. And it's destroying this nation. And I talked a lot last week about the forest fires and how bad they're going to be because of our poor management. And they have started, and they are bad. Some of my family actually have a company that supplies equipment to some of these wildland firefighters, and they actually travel around and go set up fire camps. And the fires here on the West Coast, they've already got more equipment out this year, 2021, within the first week of fire season really kicking off, than they had the entire season last year, 2020, with all the terrible, horrible fires we had last year. There's already more going on, taking more equipment than we had last year. And I told you guys last week, I said, what have they done in this last year to make things better? What have they done to manage our forests better and make it so they're safer and we're not just losing all these resources? And the answer is nothing. They haven't changed anything. The policies have not improved. They don't want to give anything back to the private sector. They don't want to let the private sector manage anything the right way. And the government just is inept, my friends. It just cannot do it. And we have people that are put in charge of these various agencies that are supposed to manage this type of thing that have no actual experience working in that field. They're appointed by the governor or other people. It's favoritism. It's, you know, doing what the lobby groups want you to do, doing what the unions want you to do. And they're putting these people in positions of authority and power with no experience, and it's detrimental, and it's killing our resources. It's killing this state. I gotta tell you, my friends, when are we going to wake up? When are the Democrats going to wake up? It's unbelievable that we're at this point, actually, and we keep coming back week after week and having to talk about the same things and asking the same questions. It boils down to what we've known all along and what we've been saying for years is liberalism really is a mental disorder. And I say that because what do we know about the definition of insanity? It's insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results, right? And that's kind of what the liberals are doing. That's what the Democrats are doing. You know, you talk to them, if you can get any of them to sit down and be willing to have a conversation. And if it's an honest conversation, they'll tell you that they're hurting right now. They don't really like things that are happening. They don't like some of these new taxes, these new policies, these things that are causing their businesses to suffer, that are causing more money to come out of their paychecks or less jobs to be available. They don't like this stuff either. It's making them hurt a little bit. They're starting to feel it. They're starting to suffer the consequences, so to speak. And so you ask them, you know, why? Why would you continue to support this party that is doing these things to our country, to our state? Why would you stick with them through thick and thin, regardless of what kind of a negative impact? And they don't have a good answer. Most of them will try to avoid the conversation. They know that they don't have a good answer for it. But the problem is when they go and vote, no matter how bad they've been impacted, no matter how much they are suffering, my friends, they're going to vote for the name that has a D by it. So yes, is liberalism a mental disorder? And the answer is absolutely yes. It's unbelievable. If you're continuing to inflict your own wound on yourself, you've got a mental disorder, and that's what they're doing. The problem is they're on a sinking ship, and they're taking us down with them as well. And that's where we need to be more creative, my friends, and think about how can we change things? How can we push back? And we talked before about how many good patriots, staunch conservatives, just can't handle it anymore in this state, and they're fleeing the state, and they're going to, you know, Idaho and Arizona and Texas, and they're just getting out of here because of the leadership here. And I completely understand that, but I just want to plead with you, if you're on the fence, if you're thinking about what your exit strategy is and how can we bail on Oregon and how can we make our lives better somewhere else, I just want to caution you that if we don't make a stand somewhere and sometime soon, that this poison, it's going to infiltrate across the border. It's going to go to Idaho. It's going to go to Arizona. It's going to go to Montana. It's going to go to Texas. And anybody that lives in these states, they can tell you that it's happening. They can tell you that their state, no matter how red they are, in the last decade has changed immensely. It's true. Oregon didn't used to be nearly as blue as it was, right? How many years have we heard that Californians are coming up and changing our state? Democrats from California are coming up here and, and they're changing our state. And you know, when we were still a fairly conservative state and we were more balanced with our representation, when we were able to get good Republicans still elected to these important state positions, we sat there and you know, life was all right, and we had more equal representation, and we watched the Californians moving up, we watched the Democrats coming in, and we talked about it. We knew that they were changing us. And then all of a sudden, decades go by, right? And look where we are now. So my friends, if you think the strategy is to run, I'm telling you, wherever you go, unless we're willing to face this, unless we're willing to fight it head on and address it, we can't just keep running away from it, because if we run and never fight, they will ultimately win. They will take whatever state that you're going to, and they will be successful in changing the ideology of that state, changing the demographics enough in that state to turn that state blue. It's like a cancer. And cancer grows quickly, and cancer's hard to kill. But that's what you have to do. You have to 100% unequivocally fight. You have to fight to stop it. You have to fight to kill it. And if you don't fight, it'll consume you. And that's what's happening here in this country right now. So we, Oregonians, my friends, we need to stick together. We need to be willing to fight it. We can't just run. We have to be willing to stand our ground and fight. And I really think that we need to put pressure, and I mean strong pressure, focusing in certain key areas. But number one is the education system. We know that the education that our children are getting is laughable at best. But worse, we know that it's complete indoctrination. And that's why the Democrats have had been able to grow so strong and so fast, because education was unchecked. Teachers were unchecked in the classroom. And for decades now, we've had generations of children that have been indoctrinated, that have been told and brainwashed that things like socialism and communism are good, and we need more social programs, and conservatism and capitalism and the free market is bad, and that religion doesn't belong anywhere in this country, that we have to have a separation of church and state. They have been convinced by the experts that they go to and see each and every day. And when I say that, think about this. Your children are in front of your teacher more time each and every day than they get to see you. Is that a failure on our end in parenthood? Don't we have a responsibility to raise our children? But we're sending them off to the schools, and we're expecting our schools to raise our kids. And then we're not happy with the product, so we bitch about it. Whose fault is it really? We got to make sure that we stay engaged. Yes, I get in today's world, we all have to work. I get that jobs are very demanding, and that we have to send our kids to school. We can't have any, you know, parents, not all families have the luxury of being able to keep a parent home to stay home and do homeschooling and things like that. But I do think that we should do a better job of prioritizing, and our kids should be priority number one. So if that means sacrificing a little bit, if that means that one of the parents does choose not to work and the budget's a little bit tighter and maybe you can't do as many fun things as you used to be able to do, but your kids are getting quality time with that parent and a quality education free of indoctrination, I think that's a sacrifice that more families need to choose to make. Now, I get not every family can do that. Some families, there's no way you could do that. But you still have a job to do. Your kid might be in a public school system. Your kid might be gone in front of that teacher for 8 hours a day. But you still need to hold that teacher and your child accountable. You need to stay engaged with what are they doing in that school? What lessons are they learning? What does their homework look like? Are they getting the education that they deserve? Are they getting the education that you are paying for? And if they're not, you need to be vocal. You need to be down there in that teacher's classroom. You need to be in the principal's office. You need to go to school board meetings and talk directly to your elected officials. That's our problem. We need to engage more. If we want to fix this country, if we want to stop this poison that's infecting this country, that's infecting this state. We need to fix our education system because that is where it started. That is where it's festering and growing rapidly. And that is where we have to fight it. Stick with me, friends. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Nikki Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. I'm your host, your fearless leader, Nikki Garris, and it's good to be here today with you on Saturday. Another hot one. We were talking a little bit about the forest fires across the state. I don't want to keep harping too much about that. We know that it's mismanagement. We know that the government's doing a lousy job at protecting our resources and our property and our homes and our precious lives. We know that things could be better if the private sector was managing this, but the private sector is not managing this. And so we have these tinder boxes that have sparked up and they're fixing to burn down the entire state. Now, we talked about why that is. Well, the reason why things aren't changing is because we're under Democrat leadership. We're under Democrat leadership, and that leadership is ruining this state. And we're under that leadership because we have too many people in this state that continue to vote for the Democrats. They continue to push the liberal agenda. And that led us to the conclusion where you talked about the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, but we're not getting different results, right? Our state, our country in a lot of ways is going in the tank because of Democratic policies and this liberal ideology that is poisoning like a cancer this nation. Yet, even the Democrats, even the moderates that aren't happy with what's happening right now, they're suffering. Their businesses are suffering. Their children are suffering. They're finding it hard to get a job or hard to pay a mortgage because of these Democrat policies. When it comes election day, they're going to go and they're going to continue to vote Democrat, right? The definition of insanity. So that also answers the question, is liberalism a mental disorder? And obviously, if you're insane, which we've established they are, liberalism truly is a mental disorder, and that's where we need to fight it. So how do we fight it? We talked about how many conservatives are fleeing, right? People can't leave Oregon fast enough because they want to go somewhere where it's a red state, where they still feel like they have a say, like they have an opportunity, they have a chance, they can have a flourishing business, and they have a little bit of freedom. And I 100% get that. I would like to flee myself. But my friends, the reality is we can't outrun it. And that's what I was talking about. We can't outrun it. And trust me, the states that we look at that we think the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, the Texases, the Idahos, the Montanas, the people that have lived there can tell you, they will tell you, in the last decade, we have changed. We're getting more blue and more blue each and every year. And we got all this immigration coming in and it's changing the demographics just enough that we're starting to lose the values that we were built on. You see, we can't outrun it. We have to fight it. And so that led me to talking about how do we fight it? Where do we start? And I think one of the problems that the Republican Party platform has is we're so broad. You know, the Democrats, they don't care about anything. And the Republicans seem to care about everything. And there are some fights that we have to fight. There are some hills that we need to be willing to die on. But we need to pick and choose wisely. And we don't need to be willing to die on each and every hill. And we need to look at some things and say, is it even worth fighting for that? Is that our place? Is that even necessary? Now, that conversation's a tough conversation when you start getting involved in it. And you start saying, what should the Republican Party care the most about? What is valuable enough to protect, to have as a platform for the Republican Party? And if we carry some of these values and hold dear to some of these values and use that in our party's platform, in the long run, ultimately, Does it end up hurting our party? Does it scare people away? Does it take some of those moderates, some of those undecideds? They can't really make up their mind. Are they Democrat? Are they Republican? Which direction should they go? They're on the fence. And they're looking and they're looking and they're looking and they look at the platforms of each party and then they look at the Republicans and we're against this and we're against that and we're against this. Is things like that causing good people that we need in our corner to stay away from us and not want to be a part of us? Because some people are one issue people. There are certain issues that I'm definitely about supporting, right? Sanctity of life. Protecting the unborn from conception all the way to natural death, I will stand on that hill and I will die on that hill. That is something absolutely, unequivocally, we need to fight for, we need to protect, and that is one of those items that should be in our platform for the public Republican Party. Absolutely, hands down. And then I had a good friend of mine, a very wise and educated friend that she's a lawyer. She's a staunch conservative. She's a Christian. She's politically active. She's a lawyer. She said her question was, is making sure that a marriage between a man and a woman only, is that something that should be in the platform for the Republican Party? Or is that something that has hurt the Republican Party and caused people not to want to be a part of us? Because the way things are nowadays, you know, we know that, number one, in this country, we all have rights, right? We're all protected under the Constitution of the United States. We have a Bill of Rights that lays things out very clearly. And so you got to question yourself, what are we going to adhere to? As a country, are we going to make laws that go against our biblical principles? Or are we going to go against our Constitution and the rights and the liberties that everybody are protected by to make sure that we stand for our biblical principles no matter what? And then the other question is there a way to separate the two and still figure out how to make it work without violating anybody's principles or the Constitution? And that posed a long, serious conversation that was a tough conversation to have. I'll tell you about it. We'll be right back here. Don't turn that dial. Stick with me here on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Hello, my fellow patriots, and welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio. Thanks for being here with me today. We were just talking about some tough conversations I was having this week with a good friend of mine. And she's a politician. Well, she's not a politician. She's politically active. She's been a politician in the past. She's a lawyer. She's a conservative. And she's a Christian. And she's working on some different things. And she asked a question to the public. And I just want to read her specific question so I get it 100% right here. She says, what do you think about the Oregon Republican Party declaring in their party platform that marriage is between one man and one woman? Now she says, keep in mind, this is no longer the law of our state or our country, but it remains biblical law. So if you're a believer, if you're a Christian, you believe that marriage is sacred and it's between one man and one woman. Okay. She says, do you think that being in the Republican Party platform helps or hurts the party? And she's actually asking for opinions because she's actually working on an argument that has to do with that topic. And she's trying to get some positive feedback on how we actually feel about that. And so I was thinking about that, and I'm kind of a, you know, sometimes a little bit brash, and I jump the gun a little bit, and so I immediately respond to her, and I told her, you know, that as Christians, that we need to try to honor the Lord and follow biblical law and principles in all things in every aspect of our life. And if we don't do that, we're nothing more than hypocrites. And I don't want to be untrue to my faith, and I don't want to be a hypocrite either. But we had an in-depth, deep conversation, and we talked about how much we both value the liberty that we have in this country, the freedom that is given to us because of what our founders did, because of our Constitution, and because of our Bill of Rights. And one of the things about our Constitution and our Bill of Rights is it gives everybody those freedoms and protections, does it not? And I always sit here talking about how we need to fight to uphold our Constitution and protect it. And I'm an originalist when it comes to viewing the Constitution and interpreting the Constitution. And our Bill of Rights, I don't care if I agree or disagree with you or your beliefs. If something is violating your rights, your protected rights, I will fight with you. I will stand side by side to fight to protect your rights. And I honestly feel that way. But then my friend, she points out that there's some contradictions. And it goes back to something as simple as the Republican Party making this statement that marriage is sacred and should only be between one man and one woman. And so you have to question that if that's their stance, would they try to make that a government law? And if they do, doesn't that go against our Constitution? Freedom of religion. It goes against the 14th Amendment because the Supreme Court has already ruled that gay people can get married. And so that's protected now. And so they have the same right as Christians have or other religions have in the sanctity of marriage, right? And so it was a really interesting conversation. A lot of people chimed in on it. A lot of people feel like a lot of the problems we have in this country, and I can put myself in this class, a lot of the problems that we're seeing right now, that we're dealing with right now, come from the moral decay, the corruption in our moral fabric that has led us down this path that, you know, it's scary. We're seeing a lot of evil right now in our country, and things aren't looking very well. And we, you know, I was talking about Portland and Seattle and how terrible those cities have gotten, but it's not the city, right? It's people. And why are things bad? It's because we're immoral. Not all of us, right? But society has accepted and become more tolerant of immoral acts and behaviors that 2-3 decades ago we never would have dreamt of tolerating. But because of this woke movement and the PC movement and, you know, just the shift that we've seen, largely because of the indoctrination in our education system. You see how I'm tying this back together? We're going down this path that bad things are happening and our hands are starting to become tied because we don't dare say anything because we don't want to offend anybody or hurt anybody's feelings or we don't want to be considered a bigot or a racist or a homophobe, right? So we're just allowing any and everything to happen and accepting all these types of behaviors, immoral behaviors, sinful behaviors, behaviors that don't line up with our biblical principles. But that's what we're doing because we think that's what we're supposed to do. We're not supposed to say anything anymore about it. We're not supposed to judge anybody. We're not supposed to keep anybody from being able to do whatever they want. Everybody has to have the same rights. It's caused a problem, and I don't know what the answer is, my friend. I thought I knew exactly where I stood before she posed this question and we had this in-depth, long discussion. But she pointed out a couple, you know, good points that really caused me to pause a little bit and made me think, well, maybe I don't have the right answer. Maybe I don't know the cut and dry answer to this. It's not as easy as I thought it was. It's not always black and white. So how do we marry, or how do we mix being governed and having a government and having laws of our society issued by the government, and also making sure that we're upholding our principles and values and being true to our biblical beliefs and following our biblical laws? And some of that, I just don't know how we cross over with that. It's an interesting thing to ponder. And I just, you know, I'm probably making some of you guys go out there and scratch your heads a little bit now. And you're probably not very happy with me, because now I'm making you think about things that maybe you hadn't thought of, that you didn't want to think of. And you're going to be kind of stumped like me on not knowing what the answer is. But this is one of the things after that conversation I did determine. And I don't know if it's right or wrong. It's just something that, you know, in my mind, how maybe I can justify things a little bit is that we love God's word, and we love our country, and we love the Constitution. And God calls us to live in governments, not of or for them. So, yes, we're supposed to follow our laws, and we're supposed to live within the parameters of the government that men set up, but not of the government or for the government. We're supposed to live for God. And we're not necessarily supposed to hold unbelievers to a biblical standard. That's not our job. We got to remember that 75% of our society are not practicing Christians. 75%. So there's just a lot to consider on that. And as humans, any government that we set up, we know it's going to eventually fail. And we actually know that John Adams, he told us that this government, our government, our republic, our constitution, it was set up purely for a moral and religious people. And as soon as we lose that, it will fail also. So my advice right now is that we're blessed to live in this country. We're blessed to live under a constitution that doesn't require us to sin. Because think about that. Everything that the founders did for us and all the foresight that they had, they put together this document and this standard, this way, this roadmap. And inside the Constitution, as big as it is, and as big as our biblical principles are, they were able to put this document out there that lets us work together and follow our Constitution, but doesn't require us to sin. It simply grants us the option if we choose to. So that's how you can justify it. The Constitution does not require us to sin, but it doesn't stop you from sinning if you choose. And I think we can be okay with that as long as we make the correct decisions as individuals. And the key there is, that's liberty, right? That's what's so precious about this nation. That's liberty. That's what men fought and died for. And that's what our founders worked so hard to give us. Stick with us. Don't turn that dial. We'll be right back here, my friends, on Patriot Uprising Radio.
We're back with more Patriot Uprising Radio with Mickey Garris.
Hey, my fellow patriots, welcome back to the show, Patriot Uprising Radio, and I'm your host, Mickey Garris, and we are coming to the end, my friends. Every time, every week, it just goes by so fast, so much to do, so much to say, and just not enough time. So your schedules are busy, my schedule's busy. We know how that goes, right? We were talking about, you know, I was having a pretty in-depth discussion, and we were talking about some things that maybe the Republicans just need to let go of. Maybe we need to pick and choose our battles a little bit more carefully. Maybe we need to look at things that are hurting our party overall, that are keeping people from wanting to be a part of our party, certain issues. And we were looking at where do we cross the line with agreeing or disagreeing with something, and whether it contradicts our biblical laws and the beliefs. And I don't have a right or a wrong answer, but what we came to the conclusion on is the nice thing about it, at the end of the day, our Constitution is set up in a way that it does not require us to sin. So we have free will, and ultimately God is the giver of free will, but we have a Constitution that respects that. And we have a Constitution that allows us to have our government laws and function as a government, but doesn't require us to sin. But it also doesn't stop us from sinning if we choose to. So, and I ended that with, that's liberty, right? That's liberty. And that's what is so precious about the United States, about this republic. And that is what we're seeing so many other countries yearn for, so many other citizens of these other oppressed countries, these oppressed nations, these socialist and communist and Marxist regimes. Their people don't have liberty. They don't have that free will. They're told when to eat. They're told when to sleep. They're told what they can eat. They're told where they can go. They're told who they can listen to. They're in poverty, and they're in horrible conditions because they don't have what we have. And that's liberty. So hopefully that makes you guys realize how important it is. Look what's happening in Cuba right now, my friends. Look at what is going on there, and how their people have finally had enough and they're fighting back. And should we get involved? That's the question. What does the United States do? Are we ready to get involved in that? Do we have an obligation to get involved in that? That's a tough one. All I know is there's a lot of good people there that for generations, their lives have been miserable because their governments and their system that they have set up has taken everything from them and doesn't care about life, doesn't care about them as individuals, doesn't care about their own prosperity. And we see that and we think, how awful would that be? And then we look at this country, and if you have any common sense whatsoever, you can see the writing on the wall that we are rapidly moving that direction, and we need to be willing. We need to be able to fight against it. We need to stop it because we cannot be them. We cannot go down the road that they went to that led to their destruction. There are countless examples all over the world, my friends, of people that had it better at one time, but because they got immoral, because they become corrupted, because they got lazy and they thought to themselves for a moment, well, I don't need to do that. The government should do that for me. I'll just stick my hand out and I can get money. I can get food. I don't have to go to work. The government can pay for this. The government can pay for that. We need the government to give us all our health care for free. That should be our rights. That's the mentality that has killed these other countries around the world. And that mentality is snuck into this country by way of indoctrination through our education system. So to circle all the way back to the beginning about, we have a responsibility, we have an obligation to not give up on this country, to not give up on this state. We can't think that our problems are going to go away if we just run away. Until we're ready to face them head on and address them and fight against them, we will never stop this cancer that is poisoning this nation. And it doesn't matter where we go, it will follow us. So my friends, if we're going to make a fight, if we're going to make a stand, we might as well do it right here in Oregon. It's time for us to be more involved, more engaged. It's time for us to take responsibility for our children, be responsible for their education, and we need to make sure that we're electing the right individuals on school boards and elsewhere that are going to share our values and principles and fight for our children as hard as we will. And we need to be in our teachers' classrooms. We need to be in the principal's classroom. Did you guys see that there is a push to put cameras? They're saying now they figured it out. Technology's gotten to a way. They expedited everything because of this distance learning and the Zoom classrooms and this and that. That now teachers should have a camera in their classroom 24/7, even when the kids go back to normal school. So parents can just check in on the teacher randomly whenever they want to and see what's going on in the classroom. And did you see that the unions and some of these teachers are having fits about that? Why? Why? If you're teaching what you're supposed to be teaching, if you're not indoctrinating our children, if you're not brainwashing them, if you're not filling their heads with a bunch of crap, anti-American crap, why do you care? Why are you so concerned? Why are you worried if a parent happens to log on and watch you teach a lesson here or there? What are you so afraid of? That should be the first red flag, my friends, the fact that they're fighting against it. I'm not saying that I want to sit there and audit every single hour of every single day of my kids' teachers. But I think having an option where I can just click on randomly throughout the day and see what they're doing and see what lesson they're teaching and how they're presenting it, I think that would keep a little bit more accountability in the classrooms. And I think it would keep teachers on task. I would think that it might, you know, help the behavior of some of the students if they know that mom and dad's going to be watching them occasionally. I don't think it's like spying on them. I just think it gives a level of accountability and security. And I think it helped protect and save this education system. And some teachers are furious about it. And those are the ones, my friends, that are indoctrinating your children. They're okay with law enforcement having to have cameras on them 24/7. Look how they use those cameras against law enforcement. You realize that's been the best thing for law enforcement? Because I got news for you, friends. 99.9% of law enforcement are amazing and they do an amazing job for us. And their cameras prove that day in and day out. The cameras have been excellent. Now the people that were pushing the cameras for law enforcement because they thought they were going to catch law enforcement doing bad things, they're seeing that that's backfiring now. They're seeing that it's actually making the criminals look bad. And so now they're starting to push it and say, no, it violates my rights for you to have that on camera. And they're starting to try to take cameras away now. It's just really comical. People are so funny. But you know what? The cameras were good for law enforcement. And if you're a good teacher, I think a camera in your classroom is going to be good for you too. I don't see what you're worried about. If you're fighting against this, you're doing something wrong in the classroom. If you're doing anything in that classroom that you don't feel comfortable sharing with the parents, that you don't want the parents to know about, that you don't want to hear the parents, you know, have the parents hear what you're saying or see what you're teaching, you don't belong in that classroom alone, unsupervised with our children. And that's a fact, Jack. Thank you for being here with me today, my friends. God bless you guys. Pray for this country. Pray for this state. Pray for our president, Donald J. Trump. And guess what? We'll be right back here next week on Patriot Uprising Radio.
You've been listening to Patriot Uprising Radio right here on KSLM and KSLM.news.